Well, this morning we were looking at that lovely little verse in 1 Peter 2 as to what a Christian is. And somebody should correct me and say, no, we weren't. This morning we were looking at who a Christian is. I don't mind if you talk to me, but this afternoon I want to look at what a Christian is. What are we? Maybe I ought to say that some of the things I've jotted down are fait accompli. Some are what we should be, and some are what we hope to be. I'm not going to concentrate on one particular verse, but I have picked out scriptures from throughout God's Word. But because I'm me, and that's how I work, I like little headings, one-word headings, and I like alliteration. So, this afternoon, shall I tell you where we're going, and then we can go one step at a time. I believe a Christian is identified, indemnified, impelled, indwelt, indispensable, indestructible, invaluable, and impressed. Nobody's in a hurry to go home, are they? The good old days, you know. Were they good old days? So I'm told in Chelmo, when the preacher started, he used to have an hourglass behind, and he'd turn it over and they'd start and he'd preach for an hour. And so my father tells me, sometimes the preacher would look and he'd say, "Let's have another glass, friends," and turn it over. Well, I'm not sure that we'll do that this afternoon. But to me, these have been absolutely thrilling thoughts and challenging too. So let's go through them one by one. First of all, a Christian definitely is and should be identified. We've alluded to it in that hymn that we've just sung. Identified? Listen. "The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knows them that are his." And I have no doubt about that whatsoever. God knows, God identifies those who belong to him. And if there were any doubt in my mind, I hear the words of the Saviour in John 10. You remember what John said? What the Saviour said in John 10? "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them, and they follow me." Identified, of course, we are in God's eyes. But I believe we also ought to be identified out in the world where we live. And you know, I love that little account in Acts chapter 4. Do you remember Peter and John went up to the temple? Some of you may be ahead of me and you'll know what I'm going to say. Peter and John went up to the temple and there was this lame man. And eventually, as the children's chorus puts it, he went walking and leaping and praising God. But the authorities weren't too impressed, were they? And they arrested Peter and John. And then we read this in Acts 4:13. They took knowledge of them, they were unlearned and ignorant men. Don't we go? Would you like to be known as an unlearned and ignorant person? But they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. There was something different about them. They were identified as Christians because of their demeanour, was it? Did they look different? I don't know. Did they speak differently? Well, not particularly, because they were unlearned and ignorant people. But they acted differently. There was something about them. They'd been with Jesus. Oh, what a challenge. Our Saviour is here by his Spirit this afternoon. Will others take knowledge of us tomorrow? Our lives are spared if we meet others. Will they take knowledge of us that we've been with Jesus? Will they say, well, there's something different about them? I've heard many a testimony and read many a testimony from a person who said they came in contact with a Christian and knew that that Christian had got something that they hadn't, and they wanted to know more. Oh, what a challenge. Christians identified. But secondly, indemnified. That's a long word, and I'm sure you know exactly what it means, but just in case you don't, my dictionary definition says to secure a person against loss or penalty. In theory, that's what our insurances are for. But boy, oh boy, they sometimes fall short, don't they? Oh, there's a little bit in the small print. Praise God, there's no small print with him. In Romans chapter 7, Paul speaks about this conflict between the new man and the old, the new nature and the old. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am. There's an old nature and there's a new. But don't you just love how he starts Romans chapter 8? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Really? What about this old nature? Don't I deserve to be punished for this? Written off. Indemnified. Now come. Well, the Old Testament refers to it as a robe of righteousness. Isn't that marvellous? And when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ in us. And that means we're indemnified. There is no condemnation. There's no punishment. Why? Because he's been punished on our behalf and for our sake. What a privilege to be not only identified, but indemnified. Thirdly, impelled. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Paul writing in 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, he speaks about the position that we're in, what God has done for us, and he says this in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And then in verse 14 he says, why? For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they who live should not henceforth live to themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Paul says, he lived and died for me. I have a responsibility. I am impelled to serve him, and that impelling force, and after all, the word impel means to excite to action, to urge forward, to force. Do you feel like that? When you contemplate what God has done for you, do you feel impelled to do something for him? Not that he needs, or does he? Oh, we'll come on to that in a moment. That's how Paul felt. Because he met with the Saviour. Because he realised what God had done for him. I've got to tell others. And I believe he did so with an enthusiasm that perhaps some of us lack sometimes. Another lovely old hymn we used to sing comes back to mind. Then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I found. I'll point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. Impelled? Oh, I hope we are. Should be. But then, of course, Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, and 2 Corinthians 6, 16, tells us that we are indwelt. When Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and then went back to heaven, the disciples might have wondered what on earth he was on about. But Jesus said, if I go away, Father will send the Holy Spirit that he may abide with you forever. And Paul reiterates that in both of those references. The Holy Spirit that should be with you and dwells in your hearts. Isn't that what he said? Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 6. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I remember my mother, when we were round the piano years ago when we were children. We had morning and afternoon service, and Sunday evenings we would be in the lounge. I think that was the only day of the week we were allowed to go in the lounge. The piano was there, and Father would sit at the piano with the old Golden Bells hymn book, and we'd have the privilege of choosing a hymn, and we'd stand around there and sing. And I tell you what, we weren't a bad choir, six of us, and Mother and Father. And when it was Mother's turn, she nearly always chose that hymn with the chorus, no, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. And you know it's true. Why is it true? Because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But isn't that a challenge? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how careful we ought to be in our actions. Indwelt. And then with a smile, I suggest to you, indispensable. And I know what you're thinking. Nobody is indispensable. I've been told that many, many times. In what respect do I suggest this? Well, Paul tells us, it has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I believe that is a reflection of the Saviour's final instruction to his disciples. After all, in Mark 16:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now come on, how can 11 disciples go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Of course those 11 couldn't, but I believe that instruction applies to every one of God's children, you and me. And the preaching there could very easily be translated gossip. And before you say, well, hang on a minute, we don't gossip. We're above that sort of thing. In the nicest possible way, no need to talk about Ipswich Town Football Club or even the weather for that matter. Talk about the Lord. Gossip about him. And you know, I just love John 17, where Jesus says in John 17, verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone," that's his disciples, "but for those," listen, "who shall believe on me through their word." That's God's guarantee of success if we are faithful in proclaiming the gospel, sowing the seed. And in that respect, I know in another respect you can say God doesn't need us. God is sovereign and God can work. Of course he can. But I believe he chooses so often to work through us. And I don't know about you, friend, that makes me so humble, so unworthy, so unfitted. And yet, if I tell what I know, and what do I know? Well, what was it the blind man who was healed said? "I don't know this, I don't know that, I don't know this. One thing I do know, whereas I was blind, now I see." Friend, you may not be able to put a sermon together, but you can say that. And that is a wonderful testimony. Indispensable, I believe, in that respect. How about invaluable? What are you worth? What am I worth? I've told you before, I remember as a schoolboy coming home from school, going into the kitchen at the farmhouse, and mother's mother was sitting there, Granny Hopkins. "Hello, Granny, how are you?" "I'm all right, dear, I'm all right, dear." "Are you going to put the kettle on?" "Yes, all right, Grandma." "Would you like me to make you a cup of tea?" "Don't you worry about me, dear, I'm not very important." She said it in the sort of tone of voice you knew she was very important, or she felt to be. You know, a lot of people, and I was thinking this morning as I walked the dog, remember there's one who said, "I'm a worm and no man," felt totally unworthy. What does God think about us? I love the way we read in Malachi. God says, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels." Now, I don't know what sort of jewelry collection you ladies have got, but I'll guarantee you it's not worth anything like the jewelry collection that God has got. What are we worth? Well, as my brother said to me when we were talking about the price of Christmas poultry years ago, and I was saying to him, "I don't know what we ought to charge this year." What is it worth? It's worth what anybody's willing to pay for it. That's it. What is God willing to pay for you and for me, friend? Not silver and gold, as we said this morning. The precious blood of Christ. What price that? Priceless. Priceless. And if God paid that for me, that's what makes me worth. Can I believe it? I don't feel it. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, when I make up my jewels. When he cometh. Remember the children's hymn? To make up his jewels. That's right. His loved and his own. That's you, friend. That's me. I tell you, it gets better and better, doesn't it? What it is to be a Christian. And so, I've got to finish off with impressed. Aren't you impressed? If you ain't, you ought to be. And why do I say that? You remember what we read? And I could turn to it now, but I won't. Song of Solomon. The bride is looking at her bridegroom, and she's describing him. And she goes through his hair, his hands, his this, that, and the other. You know how she finishes off? He is altogether lovely. How about that? Is that how you see your Saviour? Is that how I see him? What a person. Aren't you impressed? I am. And I tell you what, one day I shall be even more impressed, because I shall see him face to face. And as the old hymn writer put it, then shall I see him face to face and never sin, but from the rivers of his grace drink endless pleasures in. What a day that will be, and we shall be transformed into his likeness. Impressed? Well, I was. Christian, I hope you are. What we are, who we are. Well, if that doesn't cheer you, then nothing will. But I hope it will challenge as well, as it's challenged me. May God enable us to live for his glory until he ushers us into his presence. Amen. Amen.